All right, but let me just summarize the comment I made to pass, and that is like this: have faith in God. Turn to your neighbor, say, have faith in God. Tell your neighbor again, have faith in God. Now, what I want to just share with you briefly, when I said have faith in God, is this. You know, life responds to your faith. Now, this not, I will make sure this is not more than 5 minutes, so I can get into my teaching for today. Life responds to your faith. That's how God did it. You know, if you're on our mailing list, you get a mail I sent recently in which I was trying to explain the fact that spiritual things are very real. They are not just real to those of us who believe. They're actually really, really real. That is, you know, I now found that science actually, they have measured down to the edge of the spiritual. I didn't even know. If you know physics, you know what they call quantum mechanics. By the time I started reading about it in the last 1 or 2 weeks, I was shocked at what I was seeing. And some of the comments I passed in that article, the sermon I sent out about last week, only to find out that I thought I was being spiritual. I didn't even know physicists already knew what I was decoding by the Spirit. I don't know what I get what I say. Some of the claims I was making, physicists had made the claims. And I was thinking that it's from knowing the Word of God. Yeah, I discovered it from knowing the Scriptures. But I found out that physicists are actually discovering that level. I made up my mind that no real physicist will tell you that there's no spiritual realm. They have gotten to a point in which they know it has to exist. There's a man, I was about to order his book, but I didn't. The website I saw it on, I can't order from it. So I said, okay, later on I'll go and order on Amazon. The guy was not, he didn't believe in God until he approached a particular level. He's a professor of physics and mathematics and what they call an astronomy. Until he got a particular level in his study, he just realized that the realm of the spirit has to exist. So now wrote a book titled The Physics of Immortality. Then there's another one he wrote after it. He called it The Physics of Christianity. Listen, I'm not going to bring out an issue here. Your faith controls your life. Listen, if you know Jesus said, have faith in God. That was all he asked the disciples. Every time the disciples had a problem, Jesus told the disciples, he said, have faith in God. Every time the disciples had problems, the apostles, you know what he told them? Where is your faith? O ye of little faith. There was never a time he said to them, the problem is because you have enemies. The problem is because the devil is strong. Every issue is, what happened to your faith? Think about it. Peter sank on water. He did not even have mercy on Peter. I don't know what I get my point. Peter sank on... If you sink in mud, I will feel sorry for you. I won't query your faith. This man sank on water, on the sea. Yeah, Jesus, when he rescued him, he said, why did you doubt? That is, why are you sinking? It's not because you are too heavy for water. It is because of what? Doubt. It is a lie that they teach to Christians these days. That's because somebody does not want you to succeed. If somebody points a gun at you and injures you, Jesus will look at you and say, why did you doubt? I don't know what I heard I said. A gun. You and I will have said, this life is terrible. Everywhere is unsafe these days. What can a Christian do? But Jesus will have looked and said, why are they doubting? I don't know whether you're getting my point. Listen to me. The amount of failure you will experience in life as a Christian is directly tied to the amount of unbelief in your life. And like I said, if you follow me on Twitter, I put out a tweet the other day that you cannot use physical displacement to remove yourself from problems as a Christian. You can't say, I'm failing in Nigeria, I'm going to the United Kingdom. When you get there, you know you have to take a flight, obtain a visa. The spirits don't need that. They'll just contact their friends. Say, there's one guy we're killing here. He's coming to your zone. They are waiting. You cannot use physical displacement to solve a spiritual problem. You have to solve your problem inside. And I'm telling you again, the problem of Christians is what? Unbelief. The foundation of unbelief, number one, is lack of knowledge. Number two, unpersuadableness. You are telling them something, they are arguing with you. If the word of God says something you don't understand, don't argue. I remember once I was talking with a lady many years ago. We talked about the situation of the country. I said, "Wait, Christian." I said something. She was saying on that one. I said, "Will you stop talking? I'm giving you the word of God. You are giving me experience. What's wrong with you?" No, I got to the point. I was angry. I don't want to go into what we're discussing that day. I just want to talk about the principles of life, how to, you know, man, woman, family, how children can be raised and all of that. We're just talking about, when I hear some statements, I'll quote something, she'll tell me another thing. After a while, I say, "Will you be quiet? I'm telling you the word of God. You're telling me experience how private schools are expensive. If your children can't go to school because you can't pay, you know what Jesus said? It is because of what? Unbelief. Doubt. So private schools are expensive these days. I said, so that has made the word of God of no effect. And listen, if you truly hold on to God's word, it will never fail you. Let your friends run up and down. One day they are going to come back and meet you, you that was believing the word of God. You see, we're not talking on the natural plane now, but even down to the natural plane, in 15 years' time, we will see who succeeded. Are you getting my point? Because the word of God is alive. It produces. Did you hear what I said? What did I say? I didn't hear you well enough. It produces. The word of God is alive. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. That's just introduction for today. I just feel like greeting somebody. All right, let's get into our message for today. The Lord is good. Let me just emphasize it again. The reason why Christians fail is not because of the surrounding circumstances. So, why do they fail? Say it loud. Thank you. Unbelief. That's why Christians fail. Anybody who tells me, I don't know, I'm tired of saying this thing. No, I'm not tired yet. I will not neglect to remind you of it. Listen, you know, it's God, we're in Africa. So we have to keep addressing these things. As far as you are concerned, witches don't exist. You hear what I said? You don't sound persuaded. I'll say it again until I persuade you. As far as you, child of God, as far as you are concerned, witches don't exist. If you understand, I say amen.
Amen.
Is that you say they don't exist? Who cares? Let me give an example now. There's a particular universe. Not a universe now. What do you call it? Galaxy. There's a particular galaxy that's like 50 million light years away from Earth. And there are two of Banjis there dancing disco every morning. How does that concern? Are you getting my point? How is that my business? How is that my business? That's why I said, as far as you are concerned, witches don't exist. They don't. And you say, okay, you don't know my neighbor. The other day, I sneezed like this. The woman didn't like this. I said, I have a headache. Thank you. You have confessed. You're a sinner. This is the judgment of God that gave you headache, not the witch. They will say, "You got one woman did my mother like this. Say I will never marry. That's why I have not married till now." Listen to me. It's a lie. What did I say? You put yourself into trouble. All those what do you call it? Prayer houses you have been going to. That is where your problems began. Let me tell you the truth. You know what prayer houses do? They make money. It's a business. That's why they don't like to set you free. You have to come back. Like they say, the money is in the comeback. If they set you free, where would they make money from? They put people in bondage. Believe me when I tell you it's business. One day I was traveling, so I was supposed to wait for the taxi man who would pick me. The man said I should wait in his house. So I think my dad dropped me off there. So I sat down in front of his house waiting for the man to come. I was going to Lagos. Opposite his house, some guys were there fighting. No, not physical fighting, just arguing. What do you mean? What do you know about this church matter? It is our family that made your people bishop. We, you know, they were arguing. Oh, what is one uncompleted building? These guys were there fighting. Ah, you know what I mean? Just arguing and arguing. After a while, the argument stopped. Then prayer started. Then the prayer ended. Then the argument started. I now realize what happened. A client came. You didn't get that? The argument when there was no business. Then a client arrived. Good morning, Pastor. What is it? Please, oh, I have this problem. All right, let us pray. Then she gave an offering and left. Then they went back to the argument. My wife has explained when we go home, sometimes, you know, some people pray throughout the night. You'll be hearing from far distances. One day, my mother told me one of them that happened. She said, Reverend Father said this one in church. The Reverend Father was staying in the mission house, you know, where they stay. And near him, these guys have been praying every night. They don't let him stay. So one night, he got tired. He got up, left his mission house, walked across to where the people were praying the whole night, not letting him sleep, only to discover that they were all asleep. There were like three people there, sleeping. And the noise that has been disturbing poor Reverend Father all these weeks was a speaker, a tape. Business, they were advertising. The man was surprised. He got there, he had to knock, he had to wake them up. Please, reduce the volume of that thing. That is, he thought they were really human beings. I wanted to tell them, why are you guys disturbing the neighborhood? Only to get there and find out that, as a matter of fact, these guys were sleeping. And they put the speakers out just to attract people to their own business district. And you carry your problems and go to such places. They can't help you. What did I say? They can't help anybody. Your freedom, your deliverance is in approaching to the Word of God, learning the Word of God, imbibing the Word, and walking out, you know, with that Word, facing life by faith, and speaking just that which the Word of God says to you. If you have given your life to Christ, you don't have an ancestral curse. The only ancestral problem in your life now is how to obey God. Did you hear what I said? He said, but you see, the thing that happened to my grandmother happened to my mother, and I'm afraid it will happen to me. You don't understand. Fear of your grandmother was passed on to your mother, and if you refuse that bad behavior, you don't bring into Christianity, the curse stops there. Go and check it. That's what happened. Is there a curse? I don't know. I don't care. Like I said, as far as you are concerned, it's irrelevant. You are free in Christ Jesus. Some people are deceived by something. As I was approaching the place, the man began to see visions. Anybody can see visions. There's what they call familiar spirits. Familiar spirits like to see visions. They can't help you. They will tell the story of your life. Your father married your mother in a particular village. He will tell you, How did the demon know? You have been discussing it at home. He came. A friend of mine once, he said he didn't believe in God. He dreamt a dream that somebody died in his family. Then somebody said, escort me one day, let me go to a white garment church. So as soon as he got to that church, the reverend there, or priest, whatever, or the pastor, just pointed and said, hey, you, except you fast for 3 days and three nights. See, I see death around you. Except you fast for 3 days and three nights, somebody's going to die in your family. He said, oh boy, I fast too. He was so afraid. This guy was a useless womanizer. A useless one. A terrible one. A bad one. And they will tell all kinds of lies to make money when we're house officers. Yet he's fasting to remove problem from his family. If you want problem to go away from your family, preach repentance to everybody. Tell them the truth. If we don't serve God, we can't prosper. I'm not talking about money prosperity, now prosperity in every aspect. That you cannot pray a curse away from the life of a sinner. Did you hear what I said? You can't pray a curse away from the life of a sinner. You may be able to suspend judgment for a few days, but that judgment will still come down unless that fellow repents. For those of you who are going to prayer houses and following prophets, let me define for you a false prophet again. A false prophet points finger, is always looking for the cause of your problems amongst mankind and does not point to you and say the problem is your sin or your unbelief, your refusal to repent. Any prophet that he prays with you, just finish praying like this and starts telling you who the cause of your problem is, I don't care whether he's the biggest pastor in Nigeria, is on television, he's false. You hear what I say? I don't care. He's false. Or at least, that particular prophecy is a lie. The other day, my mother, we're watching TV. Point that one man of God was on TV. Ah, this man, she asked me, is this Jenny? I said, I don't know. It's not. I'm not the barometer. Half of those prophetic things you see, half of them don't believe in God. They just want to make money. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. So be carrying your head following prophet. They will kill you one day. One day, a man went to this was in Ibadan. A man went to a pastor to pray. The man told him that he must never go to Lagos again. That if he goes to Lagos, he will die on the express road. That the witches that want to kill him, they are waiting there. So the man stopped going to Lagos. Unfortunately, business was in Lagos for him. So, when the devil wants to punish you, initially it was worry. Now you added financial distress. The man was now broke. Okay, why are you not working? He can't tell you. Many things people can't tell you. One day, young woman packed her load, packed and walked out of her husband's house. My wife knows what the story I'm talking about. Walked away out. The man told me later, he said the thing that distresses him the most is that he doesn't know why. If it's that we fought, I will understand. After, by the time he finished talking with me, I said, you know the truth? He said, what? I said, she and her parents have gone to one of these prophets and they prophesied to them that she will die if she stays in your house. She can't tell you. He hasn't confirmed it for me till now, but I don't have any doubt. When you listen, when you follow those prophets, they will take away peace from your life. They will take away peace from you. You won't be able to sleep. The little peace you had, you will lose it. You will lose it. Think about it. Before, you used to go and visit people and eat. You stopped going. No, think about it. Before your family, you had no problem. If they say that your father's friend is doing a party, is doing housewarming, you will go there. They serve you food. But since that time, have you eaten anywhere? You're afraid. They turn, you're suspicious of everything. A hungry boy begs you for money. You suddenly think he's what they call those spirits that are normally small. They don't have them here. I told you in the West, we had all this. When I come down to this, people didn't do anything. In the East, Ogbanje. The Amari Morales, we know they were rich. They know they're small. They're fine. We have these spirits in the West, The one you see there, that's like small children. Do they have it here? Suddenly you are suspicious. So you don't want to give the little boy your money. Meanwhile, he's just a hungry boy. Some people, they wear old clothes. They can't part with it. They are not stingy. They are afraid that if I give out these clothes now, they will use it to do voodoo against me. The worst thing you can do with my clothes is to get healed by it. That if your faith is low, say, how do I get healed? Go and collect one of my old clothes, wear it. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, the man wearing this, that was wearing this thing, I shall say small anointing remain inside. I hereby collect it. That is the only thing you can do with my clothes. There are people that burn their old clothes because they are afraid. A man I knew, I didn't know him personally, but my friend, I told the story many times. Those days when I had to work for a whole month to earn 5,000 naira as a middle post NYC doctor, He used to buy his cars brand new. He had a duplex all to himself in Surulere in Lagos. He couldn't sleep there. Why? The prophets that delivered him said he had to be sleeping inside the church. So he would come to church, put pillow there. Every night, one of my friends used to work. They had a kind of school. Then my friend was working in the school. So I used to go and visit him. So in the evening, we sleep with him. You tell me that's him. The man drives up to church, parks, comes out with one white cloth and covers himself and sleeps inside church. If you are like that, you are in bondage. You are not free. You are not free. You are in bondage. As I was telling the story, that man became broke because he said he couldn't go to Lagos again. Fear. I had heard the story. Another man of God, so his friend now dragged him to another pastor. What is the problem? That was it. So the problem is that you can't go to Lagos. He said, okay, you know what you do? You will go to Lagos and tell everybody I told you to go to Lagos. He preached the true gospel of Jesus to him. I said, you're free. Go. Of course, he began to go to Lagos and he began to prosper again. That's true freedom. Many people, their lives are in distress. Why? They believe lies. You don't know how to pray for yourself. Every prayer, you have gone to a prophet. Many of you know me well. If I don't know you, I don't pray for you. Please, I want to talk to you. I say, talk to me. Why? Why do you want to talk to me? Okay, please, it's important. I said, go and talk to Israel. Go and talk to Yinka. If Yinka says you should talk to me, then I'll listen to you. I'm not a prayer contractor. Yeah. I only pray with people I know. And what do I mean? Because I know you and I are feeding, you know, we are thinking alike. We have the same frequency, so we can have faith together. You can't be having faith with me. I'm praying with you. You're supposed to have some faith. I'm supposed to join my faith with your own. I can't be praying with you, and what is ailing you is witches. You're like, witches, see, he's praying. Now all of you will run. And my prayer is not directed at any witch. I don't donate any prayer for them. They know. Go to where they gather. I don't pray against them. It's a waste of time. If I like them to gather around when I want to be blessed, it's a fulfillment of scripture. Prepare the table before me, in the presence of all my witches. You gather. No, gather. What difference will it make? There's nothing. You can imagine a community of cats, they are eating. What will happen to the rats? They will keep there. They won't say that we harm them. They will not be happy that, thank God, though, the cats don't know we are here. Thank God, somebody gave them cat food. Well, not that somebody gave them cat food, we would have been cat food. You're getting my point? So that's why I won't pray with somebody who I don't know. My reason is simple. I don't even know what you are thinking. So you come to me and say, I have this problem. I say, go and get the book, Acquire Life. When you have finished reading it, come back. Like I told you before, 9 times out of 10, people will come back and say, I haven't read that book. I don't need you to pray for me again. I have found that I'm already free. Or I have found that I can handle the prayer myself. Yeah. The job of a pastor is to teach. It's not to pray. The Bible says, any afflicted, let him pray. Do you understand my point? The Bible expects every Christian to be able to pray. The most important thing I do for you, that is, if you call me pastor, the number one thing I do for you is I teach you. So if you call me and tell me an issue, if you ever heard me pray, do you know what I do? I give you the word. I don't just come, Father, Father, Father. All I do is I join faith with it. Are you getting my point? We can have agreement in faith. That is why if I don't know you, I don't pray with you. What am I going to say? You carry my prayer. Maybe as I'm praying like this, you are holding one handkerchief in your hand. Trying to soak the prayer. After that, you go carry around and say, anybody try me, I will use Pastor Banky to beat you. Meanwhile, that's not the aim. The aim is to beef up your faith. In fact, when we are praying, what the prayer does is to... No? Because if I pray for you and I walk away, after I have gone... The devil will now say, okay, Shebi has gone now. And start scaring you at night. But if you understand, which is my primary assignment, instruct people with the word of God. No, just to It may sound funny. Oye delivered yesterday. I mean, it was yesterday. Yesterday morning. I mean, you don't know Oye. Okay, she delivered yesterday morning. All right? The Lord is good. All right, you were clapping, so clap properly and thank the Lord for her. You know, about 2 weeks ago, she came and said, Pastor, pray. I said, pray about what? That she started a kind of pregnancy. She wants the thing to go down. That she wants to deliver sharp, sharp. I just turned to her. I said, He makes everything beautiful in His time. That's all I can say. I said, Pastor, pray. And I said, I can't pray any prayer. I said, don't be the tortoise who was inside the latrine for 2 weeks. And they said, let me go and get the rope. He said, hurry, this place is smelly. 2 weeks, you're inside there. 5 minutes to go and get rope to bring you out. So they say, this place is smelly. I told her, no. Please, oh girl, don't worry about it. You've done this in 9 whole months. 1 extra week, 2 extra weeks, we won't enjoy you. Don't be impatient. So last Saturday when she now came, and I said, all right. Really, I had almost like a word from the Lord. I said, all right, I'm going to give you 3 prayers. And they're just 3 scriptures. One of them, Isaiah 66, verse 9. If you ever told me your wife is pregnant or you are pregnant, I've given you that scripture. I give to every pregnant person I know. I said, He makes everything perfect in His own time. And I put a 3rd one into it. 3 of them saying that you will deliver at the appropriate time and you will deliver safely. Is that not what's most important? I said, take those scriptures and go. So when the husband comes that she's in labor, I said, good. I just talked to her on the phone, blessed her again. And then about 2 hours later, I called him back that, anyway, let's make it on you. 2 hours later, she delivered. I said, praise the Lord. I'm telling the story because of that Saturday. I said, look, that's the prayer I can pray. You understand? The word of God has already said to that one. Do you understand my point? And we just took those 3 scriptures, dropped them. Oh, I didn't even remember that. All the witches in the village that said this young woman will not deliver safely. Oh, Holy Ghost fire upon you. Shame, shame, shame. Shame on you. They will collect their shame at the appropriate time. Do you get my point? I don't have the time to be distributing shame. We collect the 3 scriptures, shared it, take it, go home. And anytime you remember, recite those that word, because the word of God is what we use to fight. My friend told me about when his own sister wanted to get his sister-in-law wanted to deliver. The other sister carried the lady to their pastor, and pastor began to fight every uncle that gave her something to drink. Every auntie that said this pregnancy will not prosper. They cover every corner. One of my friends went to pray one day. The pastor decided to bind every demon between here and Onitsha. And he was doing it, I think, every 15 kilometers or every 12 kilometers. I'm not kidding. The prayer took how many hours? Baby, can you remember? It was like 6 hours. A few hours. The man went after the demons. They will start from Enugu to 9th Mile. Blood-sucking demon, car-spoiling demons, the demons in the gearbox, the one under the tire, the one in the roof. I was looking at him. I said, you did that? He said, the man did it. They prayed and like 5, 3 or 6 hours. I said, that pastor is obviously very jobless. That's not a joke. You don't have work to do. If you can take one man coming up and you are binding demons on the roof because he does business on nature. So my brother said after that he went home and he became sick unto death. That he was so sick for the next 1 week. I said, do you know what happened to you? He said, what? I said, fella was very prophetic in that area. You know, Anikula Kokuti. He said, trouble sleep, younger go wake up. Wait a minute. That what happened was that you went to invite demons that were not disturbing you. Listen. If you are like that, I forbid you in the name of Jesus from going back to such places. They are not helping you. They are filling your life with fear. The last 2 guys who proposed to you now, you know, the prophet spoiled it. Those of you keep on carrying names of potential wife and husband to prophets, you will marry devil. Look, listen. I'm not kidding. You can never marry well. Let me just warn you. They will approve an evil spirit for you. Don't say I didn't warn you. Because you are consulting familiar spirits. You're not consulting the true God. You think you're consulting the true God?
One brother came in the other day, told me that there's, listen, and I don't care. He said, the brother was talking to me. He said, there's a wife of a, okay, I don't want to mention the name of the church, but a very popular church in Nigeria that's Pentecostal, and they are known for being true Pentecostal, a true church. Said, the woman is the wife of one of the pastors. I said, so when you see a young woman you're interested in, you will call her and inform her? He said, yes. I said, does she know the girls in question? He said, no. I said, stop it. I said, don't tell me anything further. Stop! You are consulting a witch. He said, but it's a man of God's wife. I don't give a hoot. I don't give a hoot. She's confusing your life. It's called divination. Christians don't understand. They think divination is only when you go and get all this one of, if it is your wish, you know, somebody shows a vision, it's divination. Somebody will give you a direct word. Listen, any one of you here that if you have ever come to me for advice, you go and check the way I give you counsel. First question, is he a Christian? He said yes. Oh, let's start with she. There's a reason. Is she a Christian? Yes. She's a true believer? Yes. Is she in Enugu here? You say yes. I said, how come? I have never seen her follow you for Bible study. You know me, I'm not looking for members or I'm not building a church or something. I just want to know that how much of the word of God does this person like? If you now explain that, okay, you give me an explanation, okay, I'll back down a bit. Of course, maybe your relationship is not very strong yet. Then why are you asking me counsel? Somebody who doesn't know you yet. You know, somebody who never follow you in that area yet. That's my own counsel. It is not about me. I just want to know, is this fellow interested in the word of God? They ask a few other questions. And then if I pray with you, it is that God will give you wisdom. Will make things clear to you. I will never do, see me tomorrow, let me decide. Only false prophets do that. I'm not joking about it. Let me tell you something about false prophecies. There are two types. There are career false prophets. They woke up in the morning and say, I'm going to be false. This is business. God didn't call me to ministry. I've called myself to my own kind of ministry. I will deceive the world. But most other false prophets are just ignorant and stupid people who think that by virtue of their position as a clergyman, a minister, they have to do it. They think it undermines their status if they can't handle such things. That those are the more common ones amongst Christians, amongst true Christians. They are confused. They don't realize that to be a prophet doesn't mean you call up visions and determine the mind of God at will. Listen, I am not saying prophets can't know. Look, a prophet can tell you, come, this girl you're about to marry will not help you. That can happen. Please, I need to clarify that. In fact, Father, thank you. I need to clarify it. All right? It can happen. What I'm telling you is not the will of God. It's the one in which you go, submit the name. And if you let me pray, I'll give you an answer tomorrow. That one is divination. You may be in a relationship and God says this relationship will not help you. And he sees your heart, that you're actually sincere. So he sends a prophet to you and says, God said I should tell you, don't marry this man. He said, but he's a good Christian. God says I should tell you, don't marry this woman. He said, but she's so committed. She's a leader in their fellowship. I don't know why. I was just praying. And then, so it happens. And let me tell you something about prophets again. Such prophecies. So that your life is not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You just don't obey them, you pray with them. I don't know what I heard I said. Yes, otherwise, your life will be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And at such times, God sends credible prophets. Only my credible. Do you get my point? People that you will believe, that is God knows. And the one I think is more likely to happen is that a good friend of yours that does not dream stupid dreams. In fact, a lot of times, this is what I think. I'm not being dogmatic about it. A lot of times, the kind of prophet that will come to you will not be a regular prophet on those marriage matters. A lot of times. Like I said to you, I'm not being dogmatic. I'm just giving you, from experience.
most likely to be a good friend who loves you will dream a dream one night and say, Eunice, I don't know what's going on, but I had this dream. I just had this, that this, he just tell you, and then instantly your spirit will know, no, this lady or this man is talking about this thing, and he's saying, don't do it. Again, what do? You just simply go and use it to pray. You can't live your life by somebody tossing you to and fro. This is New Testament, too. This is not Israel. New Testament, God says, I will write my laws on their hearts. No one will have to say to the other, know the Lord. What does that mean? One will not control the life of the other person. Say, this is what God wants you to do. Each person will know it in his heart, in her heart. A sister asked me the other day, I asked her a question. Do you want to marry this guy? She said, I'm not decided. I said, you have to decide. She said, she asked me a simple question. I want to use it as an illustration. All right? She said, if I agree to marry him, will you support it? It shows the amount of regard she has for my opinion. Can you see that? So what did I tell her? I said simply, I said, you know me very well. I don't know the guy. I have to trust you on that. I told her straight. I said, it's not somebody I know. I said, one, the only thing I know about him is what you told me about him. I said, I know he's a Christian because you told me he's a Christian. And you mentioned the church he attends. I said, that's all I know. I said, the only other thing I have observed is that he's a nice person. And I said, you also know me. All of you know me, what I mean. I said, whether you are nice or not, to me, is zero. It's zero. It's immaterial. It's immaterial. I said, Pastor, I shouldn't marry a nice man. Okay? On 10 points, niceness is number 11. Did you hear what I said? On what? 10 points. Niceness is number what? So it doesn't even feature in the 10 points. What is my reason? Because I've heard of nice people who killed their wife and killed their husband.